I read today, it'll be very familiar to some of you, and maybe some that have not been able to be with us. It'll help you to remember when you read it before. In this chapter, the 11th chapter of Genesis, we learn that it's been 2,000 years since Adam and Eve were residing in the Garden of Eden and magnifying God and fellowshipping with God. And then we find that Abel was slain by his brother Cain. And the Bible says that God gave Adam and Eve another son to replace Abel, and they named him Seth. And during the intervening centuries, that from that day until the 11th chapter of Genesis, rather than man serving God, going on with God, following the dedication that Seth had, men went away from God and went in another direction and began to sin, and there was evil and violence in the land, the Bible says, and because of that, the Lord said, I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to destroy man that I have made upon the earth. But I want everyone to understand, even with that, God's a good God. He's a merciful God, and the Bible said that Seth, the son of Adam and Eve that replaced Abel, that called on the name of the Lord, that one of those of his seed by the name of Noah was righteous. While all the others had gone astray and gone back into sin and living ungodly lives, Noah was righteous, and the Bible says God called Noah to build an ark. He said, Noah, I'm going to destroy man because of his wickedness. Man's gone back on into sin and failed to obey and live right, and I'm going to destroy man, and I want you to preach. I want you to preach that judgment's coming. I want you to build an ark and tell the people that judgment's coming, and if you'll only accept my invitation, come into the ark and you'll be saved. Come into the ark and everything will be all right. You'll not be destroyed when the flood comes. No doubt you know the story that all those years that Noah preached about the judgment, how that God's going to send the flood, God's going to send judgment. And when the time came, only 8 people believed the message that Noah preached. Only 8 people believed there was going to be judgment. Only 8 people entered into the ark to a place of safety. Only 8 people were spared, and all the population of the world was destroyed. Some people don't believe that. They don't believe what God has said. But let me just tell you something today. I'm just simple enough to believe if God said it, it's real. If the Bible declares it to be so, it happened. In fact, there are testimonies from the nations of the world. Something cataclysmic happened 4,000 years ago, a little over 4,000 years ago. In China, in Mexico, in Peru, various places of the world, results of the tragedy, the judgment of God poured out upon the earth. And mankind was destroyed, all except 8 people in the ark that believed God. And when you come to the events here in the Genesis chapter 11 and 12, another 400 years have come and gone since the flood. And I'm going to read from the 11th chapter, the last 2 verses of the 11th chapter of Genesis. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, and she had no child. And Sarah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. There are 3 statements in those last 2 verses that I read that stand out to me, that caught my attention, and I would like to use them. I want it just so that you can see this to begin with. God called and Abraham and his father and his wife and his nephew left Ur of the Chaldees the Bible says, to go into the land of Canaan. In that 31st verse, that's the first thing I want you to mention. They left all behind to go into the land of Canaan. In the last verse it says, in the last part of that verse, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. They were going from all the counties to Canaan's land. They came to Haran and dwelt there part way. And finally, the third thing is in the next verse, and Terah, Abraham's father, died in Haran. Would you see the picture? They came out of the counties to go into the land of Canaan. They came to Haran, along about here, and they dwelt there. They began to abide there. They made homes there. They began to live there. They made their abode there. And while they were there, Terah died. And he never, never, never caught a glimpse of Canaan's land. Never saw Canaan's land. Never entered Canaan's land. He died here rather than them going all the way. Those three thoughts I would like to mention this morning, but as I began, I hope you will stay with me. Think about it, if you will. They obeyed God. They obeyed the call of God. They left their homeland and they left their families and their friends and everything behind with one purpose, with one goal, with one desire, with one determination in their mind to go into the land of Canaan. That's why they left, to go into the land of Canaan. And when they arrived in Haran, a city in the nation of Syria, they stayed there and Terah died there. They settled there and Terah died there. It's a sad story, but let me just bring it down to us. It's happening every day. People start out to go to heaven, start out to serve God, start out to live for God, go part way and give up. No one realized what I was going to preach about. They didn't pick this song to go along with my sermon, but the second verse. Love of so many cold, losing their home of gold. This in God's word is told, evils abound. When these signs come to pass nearing the end of at last, it will come very fast. Come full time. The writer said, so many started out on this journey towards heaven, but something has happened in their lives, and they've grown cold in the spirits, and they've given up, and they've stopped along the way, and they have not gone all the way. I'm here to tell you today, it's God's will to leave the past and go all the way, and don't slow down. Yes, amen. Don't slow down until the trumpet sounds and we go to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. These responded. They started out. It's not a very pretty picture, but it's happened all the time. All of my ministry, all of my growing up years, I was raised in the church. I can remember a lot of years ago. I can remember during the Depression in the 30s. Some of you can as well. I remember some coming from North Carolina at the end of things were so bleak in North Carolina. There weren't a whole lot better here, but we did have the shipyard. And we had the military. But I remember when people, families came towards the end of the 30s, and then there was war broke out in Europe. And some different things began to happen, and people began to come, and I saw some people come from North Carolina to our church. In fact, we came from North Carolina to our church. Early in the 30s, 1932. I saw some people come and they were on fire with God. They came during the war. They began in December 1941. They came to be a part of the war effort, and they worked in the shipyard, and they worked in building houses, and they did a lot of things in the war effort. That we had some of them stay at our house, four men stay at our house. But the reason I'm saying all this, some of them were on fire with God when they came from Carolina. Holy folks, good people, got here, got to making money. And the first thing you know, money became more important than going to the house of God. And some began to miss Sunday to make double time in the shipyard. And the first thing you know, they didn't make it on Sunday night. And they were working overtime on Wednesday. And after a while, they dropped out altogether on fire for God. And now, dropped out. And I saw it. In our church, I didn't understand as a young fellow. I didn't understand a lot of things, but I saw people that were used of God, singing in the choir, playing instruments, singing as a family together. I saw these people love God, and then drop aside and go be gone. It's a sad story. It happened in the reading that I just read today, and it's happening today.
And if the Lord tells us it's going to keep on happening, because people, they leave there, but they don't make up their mind they're going all the way there.
Yes.
And so the first thing I want to mention today is go from sin.
Amen.
Go from sin. Everybody that raises their hand or comes to an altar or prays for salvation, that's wonderful. Getting saved is a wonderful experience. In fact, I believe it's the greatest decision any person can make.
Amen.
Getting saved. But listen, go say. After getting saved, there's something important. Go home with God. Number one, go from sin. We are living in a day where Jesus said in the last days it will be perilous times, and there will be false prophets, and they will be teaching various doctrines, and people will leave the truth, and they will line up with this, and they will line up with this, and they will line up with something else. And we mentioned some of that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. The Bible is true, and we need to stand on the Word of God. If God says it, stand on it. And the Bible says we are to go from sin. And I'd like to use the illustration of Abraham and his daddy and Sarah and Lot. When they left the early counties, they left the family, they left their friends, they left their job, they left their home, they left everything behind, and they were on their way to the Canaan's land. When you get saved, if it's been a month, if it's been 5 months, if it's been 5 years or 10 years, you must make up your mind, go from sin. God did not save us to leave us in sin. That's a false doctrine. That after you get saved, you continue to sin every day because you can't help it. And so every Christian sins every day. I said that is a false doctrine, and it is. Jesus says, go from sin. Leave sin behind. How can I live without sin on the toes? Let Jesus Christ live in your heart and life. He without sin. Let him rule and reign from the throne of your heart. I've asked some people when they told me you have to sin every day. I asked them, what sin did you have to do today? They couldn't think of it. But I'm sure I did. Now the devil's already got them hoodwinked. They're sure they sin, but they don't know how to sin, and when to sin, and where to sin. That's a bad way to live. The Bible says, go from sin. Walk away from it. Leave it behind. I guess it was last night when I was out here, yesterday evening when I was out here, I got to thinking of my life, of some of the things in my life, some of the things that I did. Now I'm not proud of so many things that I did. But I thought when my wife and I walked down that aisle in 1955 to an altar to ask God to save us, I made up my mind. I'm reaching it as well. I made up my mind. God, if you'll save me, if you'll forgive me, if you'll take me back, I promise you, Lord, I'll leave all that mess behind. The reason I was not under the conviction, the reason I was not happy, because I was living in sin. That's condemnation. Conviction. I didn't want that. So let me just make something plain. Since some of you don't make it to Wednesday Bible study, I'll try to combine both of them. If I was not happy in sin, and I wanted to be saved, how can I be happy after I'm saved and sinning? It don't go together. Come out from sin.
Amen. Yes.
Go from sin. That's the most important thing I can express right now. Those that are saved and those that are not saved. Some people say, Brother Jones, I want to go to heaven. You will have to get out of sin. The only way you can go from sin is ask Jesus into your heart and life. Let him be the part. Thank God. I'm not just preaching to maybe unsaved. I'm preaching to the church. How many I've known in this church that had a testimony to serve God, that love God, and today they don't go to church at all. They've walked away from God. They're living it over sin. Even now, it's from living it over sin that used to be around these altars, praising and seeking God. What are you saying, Rico? If not enough to go from that, we've got to make up our mind to go all the way.
Amen.
Go from sin. Don't let any of it hold on to you, or hang on to you, or be a part of you. My God, help us regardless of what it comes our way. We are to go from sin. But this is another part that I want to mention today. After we walk away from sin and asking Jesus to save us and forgive us, we must determine to go on. Joyce, I believe I've almost come to the place where that your song is my song as well. You got to keep on walking.
Is it all right if I can be mine, sir? You've just got to keep on walking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everything that I've mentioned about living in sin after you get saved is contrary to the Bible. I mentioned last Sunday, the other Sunday, the angel appeared unto Joseph and the girl that he was espoused to be married to. They have not consummated their marriages yet. They haven't had the final ceremony. And he's espoused to her. He's engaged to her. And he finds out that she's expecting a child. He doesn't know what he's going to do. And the angel came and said, Joseph, and he began to tell Joseph that the Lord, the Holy Ghost, has moved upon Mary, this virgin, and she conceived of the Holy Ghost, and the child is of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What is said for the Jones? I'm saying one from the scriptures that I read, and another one that Mike read 2 weeks ago. There was a minister on Sunday night. The Bible says, Father, peace with all men and holiness, without which no one should see the Lord. What you say this morning, I say, go from sin, but go on.
Yes.
Right. It's not enough to go from sin. Stop right here. Anyone that gets saved right there and stops right there, you'll never make it there.
Right.
Go from sin and then go on.
Yes.
Sister Golden got all those scriptures from the New Testament, and then about serving God, about eternal security and whatever, and she wrote all those scriptures down, and we gave the title to it, If You Continue. If you just keep on going.
Amen.
If you just keep on walking. You know what I'm preaching this morning? I'm preaching to the church. Don't slow down.
Amen.
Don't let anything hinder you.
Amen.
If things don't work out like you thought they would, you have served God all of your life, and honey, you and I have talked. You've served God and given your life to God, and we tried to obey Him as best we can. And sickness comes along, and you pray and see, like, that one over there gets healed, and that one over there gets healed. And maybe God, why don't I get healed? We don't understand some things, but He's still a good God.
It is.
We're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on serving God. Somebody will say, but Brother Jones, how is it? Did you love God? How did you do this? Why doesn't He do this? Why doesn't the Lord come along and do this? I don't know all the answers, but I know one thing. He's a good God. Hallelujah. He brought me out of sin. He took me by the hand and said, Ben, if you're just going with me, we'll make it on the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go on with God. Trust Him. I can say anything today. Keep on going. Keep on traveling. Keep on. Don't slow down. Evidently, this is the message for this church and for me. What God has placed in my heart. Not a soul here. I have mentioned before those that have passed on out of this church that serve God faithfully. Without mentioning a lot of names, I started over here with Brother Claude Cousin with a banjo, played service after service, and died but preached his funeral. All the way around this church over here to Brother C.L. Starling, my father-in-law, loving and serving God and obeying God. And I've thought of him a lot of times. Here's a man that had a stroke while he's still raising a banner. Has a stroke and is unable to work another day in his life on the job. Drug his right arm and his right leg around. Couldn't shake hands like everybody else. Couldn't do a lot of things. I'll tell you what he did. He was in service. When it's time to pray, he was here to pray. He kept on going. How many have given up? How many have thrown up their hands? I suppose the major thing today, somehow that's burning in my soul. Don't slow down. Church, we've come too far. We've come too far, He will slow down. We've come too far to let the enemy to hinder us. Make us believe that God doesn't care. That if God cares, He would do this or He would do that. I want you to know God cares more than we can imagine. He's a mighty God. He's a good God. Go from sin, but go on, amen. Continue on, the Bible says. Keep on walking. Keep on serving God. Keep on living for God. Life. When they got over into the promised land, let me read the 5th verse of the 12th chapter. And they went forth to go after God calls Abraham again. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Hallelujah. When they stopped halfway and Terah died, Abraham's father died, God called Abraham again, and he left that behind, and he went all the way. And the Bible says, Jesus and worship and magnify God. I want to say this today. This is Thanksgiving, a time we've enjoyed a wonderful time together as a family together, all of our family together Thursday. It's been a good weekend, a good time together. But listen, the most important thing is the whole family to be over here. I suppose I want that for my family more than I want anything else for my family. Is everybody be ready?
Yes.
Some of you have asked over and over again for your relatives, your loved ones, your family, your children.
Yes.
Pray for my children to be saved. Don't ever give up.
No.
Don't ever quit. Don't ever stop. Could I use Sister B for as a testimony? Terry cared nothing for God. Terry didn't go to church. He lived a life that was contrary to everything we teach and believe. Later on in life, when he got sick, terrified unto God, and his life was changed.
Mm-hmm.
I was with him, and I saw the change. I saw some things happen in his life, and I preached his funeral down here at the Port Dawn, whatever, Port Wood. And I thought as I was preaching the funeral, God's a merciful God.
Yes.
The way that Terry and Leah posted his life. And then in the last months, how that God changed him and saved him. And loved him, loved him. We served God. And brother, we're serving a good God.
Yes,
and although he started leading his life, lived most of his life without God, but when he made up his mind he was going, he decided to go all the way. And I'm saying this to everyone, you might have served God 40 years or 30 years. But we haven't crossed the finish line yet. Whatever you do, you come out of sin, but keep on going. Keep on going. Let me mention one other thing here. Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, how can you know? What can you do? What must you do? I want to go to heaven. I want to be ready. What must I do? If it's all right, I'm going to give you five keys. Five things. If you will do these things, you'll be. After you get saved, no one's going to heaven without being saved. After getting saved, you've got your eyes on the goal. If you will do these five things, I promise you, you'll make it. If you will read your Bible regularly and live what it says. Now you can read your Bible and read it through every year and go to hell.
Yes,
right.
Some people read their Bible for one purpose, and that is to argue with those of us that believe.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find something that they can pick. If you read your Bible regularly, and everything I said there, when you see it, live it.
Yes.
Number two, if you will pray every day, getting a hold of God. One man died. He was a superintendent of the South Carolina Hospice, and when he died, it was a tragic death. He was on a hunting trip. And they were in his office, and he had a plaque on his office, something, a statement on his office, Brother H.G. Robinson, at the Lake City, South Carolina. And on this plaque, it said, I promise you, God, that I will pray through every day. Remember you speaking on that, Tom, some time ago? They need to pray through. H.P. Robinson said, that is my goal every day to pray through. Touch God.
Yes.
Be in contact with God. Have fellowship with God.
Yes.
Then you read your Bible and pray. Faithfully to God. If you will witness. You say, well, Brother John Keen, I go to heaven without witnessing. If you've got something real, tell somebody about it.
That's right.
You see, is that important? It's so important that Jesus said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. The Lord said that. You shall be witnesses unto me. What? What does the world need? They need somebody to show them that the Lord is real. Somebody said, Brother Jones, your life is a greater testimony than your words. But listen, it's good to have words in our life. Let me say it again. More than two people can say amen one time. Amen. Remember what I'm saying right now. If you will read your Bible and you will pray and tell others what God has done, you're excited about what God has done. Number four, if you will attend church regularly.
That's right.
What's that make sure the difference, Brother Jones? What's the difference?
attending church. You ought to attend church to be a blessing to somebody else and receive a blessing from God. How many times have we come to church? Here I am, God. Give it to me. We ought to come with a thought, what can I do to be a blessing to somebody else? What can I do to lift someone else up? Number one, read your Bible, pray, witness, attend church. Number five is tithe. Why do you say that, preacher? Our church does not need any money. Let me say that again. God's blessed us. All the bills are paid. God's been good. I don't preach tithe because the church needs money. I preach tithe because the Bible says so. And it'll bless you.
Amen.
I'm going to give my testimony one more time. The night of my wife and I got saved, and we both raised in the church, had lived for God a while and gone back into sin, and been married a year, attending church on Sunday morning, but not serving God and not saved. We got saved that Sunday night, knowing what I knew, raised in a Christian home. I knew exactly what the Bible said about tithing. My wife and I discussed it, and we went home and got a checkbook, and I wrote out tithes for that month. I was in the Air Force. Went back to the church, and the church was dark. So I went to the parking next door and gave my tithes to the preacher and put it into the fund. That was in February 1955, and as far as I know, right from today, my tithe has paid up. Everything that God has blessed me with in my labors, tithes are paid up.
Amen.
I am not here to boast. I'm not here to brag. There's been some hard places. There's been some difficult times. Please understand what I'm saying now. I've never said this to anybody in the church. And I'm no better than anyone here. God bless my wife and I. We're able to get 50% of what we make. Because of Christ. Because of His grace.
Amen.
I am not bragging. I don't have anything. It's all belongs to Him.
Amen.
I have found every time we do something, God gives to us. Every time I try to be a blessing to someone else, God blesses us.
Hallelujah.
God keeps on blessing you.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
I hope you understand what I'm saying today. I didn't say that to boast. I hope you understand it. I'm not bragging at all. God's been so good. God's been so good. When you come out of sin, make up your mind you're going all the way. Go from sin. Go all the way. And the Spirit pointed out to me this morning, if you'll serve God, if you'll read your Bible, if you'll live according to the Bible, if you'll pray in the hope of God, have fellowship with God, if you'll witness, if you'll attend church regularly and come to be a blessing and receive a blessing, if you'll tithe, one more thing I want to mention, when that great day comes, not only will we have gone away from sin, not only will we have gone along with God, we're going to go to be with the Lord, amen. We're going out of here, hallelujah. I'm going to be leaving here soon. I can say my blood, the blood of Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not in a brag, but I am here to lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He's the best friend I ever had.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you're going through the most difficult time of your life, and you've been there, and you're praying, and your heart's broken, you know the outcome, you know what's going to happen, and the Lord comes close by and taps you on the shoulder. He says, friend, I'm right here.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, there's not enough money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Or out of the bank. To make up all that. You're walking along the path. Sometimes it feels like no one cares. No one understands. No one knows what I'm going through. And you hear him whisper in your ear. I know. I know. He knows everything about us. Go from sin. Go on. When he says we're going to go out, we're going out to meet the Lord. This sermon is for the church. If you're not saved, God loves you.
Yes.
He gave his best. God gave his only begotten Son, and Jesus loves you so much that he died for you.
That's right.
But if you're saved today as part of this church or visiting this church, if you're saved today, don't slow down. Don't give up. Don't slack off. We're going to make it. I mentioned that I was in the service for 11 years. I took my wife off some of the time these are closing. Isn't it amazing you can remember things that happened way back young and can't remember? Last week. I was in flight 34 and 11. In Lackland Air Force Base. 1948. And I can remember in the service some things that went on that I had never done before. Never had some of the sight stuff. But in the service, I found that you didn't do your own thing. They told you what time to get up, told you what time to go to bed, what time to eat. That was in basic training. Afterwards, they didn't work. In basic training, you just did what they said. You know what I found? If we'll just do what the Lord says,
amen,
we'll be a whole lot better off.
Amen.
This is the best life I've ever lived. That last week, 13 weeks of basic training. Some of you were in service as well in the Air Force and maybe other branches. That last week, I don't know whether they do it all the time, whether they still do it or not, but some in flight, 34-11, they decided they're in the front of that barracks, they're going to take these rocks and they're going to make some kind of implement. They put it this way, 7 more days to go. And so we'd stand around those rocks after breakfast and sing a song, 7 more days to go. About that day. And that day changed it. 6 more days. We stand 6 more days. I'm the last month. Graduating, leaving San Antonio. We went out. This is the sad part. Some didn't graduate, some were left behind. What I preach this morning, I don't want anyone to be left behind. When it's time to go out, I want you to go out. I want you to go out with me. Go out of sin, go on with God, go out of this world to be the Lord. You're a good church. God bless you, good. I've enjoyed being your pastor. I've enjoyed worshiping you. I love you and I love God. I would love to be alive with the trumpet sounds, but if I'm not, come on, you know, let me stand together with me. Thank God.
Turn to number 46 in the hymn book and let's sing that. Search me, O God. 49 in the hymn book.